This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride and Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. It's our pleasure every Thursday to talk a little hockey, brought to you by Fenton Bar and Grill with the one and only Darren Pang.
From his experience between the pipes,
Bobby Gould in alone, shoot, Pang with the glove,
to his career as a broadcaster.
Holy jumping, what a glove save.
Darren Pang has seen it all. As the Blues seek their first Stanley Cup, he'll bring his thoughts to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. It's time for Panger's Perspective, brought to you by Fenton Bar and Grill on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Mr. Pang, welcome to the program. How are you today, sir?
Oh, it couldn't be any better, Frank. Couldn't be any better. Blues coming off a big win in Minnesota. It's going to be 73 degrees here in St. Louis. That's good stuff right there. We're getting ready for playoff hockey, it looks like.
And I'm wondering if Mr. Pang has a golf club in his future today.
That's a really strong possibility.
Nicely played.
I'm not saying it's about 108, but it's probably about 108.
Hey, you mentioned something on the broadcast the other night when you were up in Minnesota about the incredible passion for high school hockey in Minnesota in that state tournament where Mike Yeo's son is actually going to be playing today. Can you give our listening audience a little idea about what that tournament is all about?
Well, I think when you for me growing up in Canada, it was, you know, so much about, you know, junior hockey, especially when you get to that major junior A level. So when you're in high school, you miss out on all the high school stuff. I mean, I was no part of my high school, really. It was all about travel and competitive hockey throughout my younger years. The first time I went into Minnesota as a player, playing at the old Met Center against the North Stars, I had no idea how serious high school hockey was there in Minnie. When they built the new XL Energy Center, you walk around the concourse there, and there is every high school sweater is hanging around there. And that was the first time that I'd really seen that. Then I started paying attention to how they run their minor hockey program there, where they have so much respect for these young athletes spending time with their high schools. They have AAA hockey, but they have high school hockey. And they cut that in half, Frank, so that you're able to play your high school hockey for half the year, and then it becomes the AAA program. And so you get a feeling for both, and you get to represent your school. And, I mean, there's going to be a kid playing in Minnesota high school hockey that's going to be, you know, he's probably going to be anywhere from 8th to 15th overall in the draft coming up. But he's one of many that are there. They'll sell out starting, it was yesterday it began, and it'll go through Saturday at XL Energy Center. They'll sell that building out for 3-4 games at a time. And once it gets to Friday, Saturday, the semis and the finals, I mean, that place, they've had their largest crowds of hockey at XL Energy Center during their high school championship. So,
wow.
Great deal of respect for them there. And I know here in St. Louis, last night was a phenomenal event shown on Fox Sports Midwest in the Mid-States. And congratulations to all four teams, but obviously the winners in CBC and Westminster. That's really great stuff, and congratulations to everybody.
Does Jack Caruso have any Darren Pang tendencies between the pipes?
No, he stops more. He stops, and he catches with the other hand. But
oh, that's right.
That's phenomenal, though. I mean, I've seen him up close and personal, and obviously knowing the family. But all in all, it's just such every goal that was scored. Just the excitement, just the passion and the enthusiasm. It doesn't matter if there's 19,000 there, if there's 5,000. It doesn't matter. You could really get a good feel for it. Fantastic stuff.
I'm just happy that Jack got his mother's athleticism.
Oh, me too. Well, obviously, if he had any of Mike's, there'd be no chance whatsoever he'd be on that ice, and we know that.
So you think we saw a preview? I know a lot of things can happen between now and the end of the season, but we saw maybe a preview of round one of the NHL playoffs, the Blues and Wild?
Well, there's a good possibility. I mean, you look at the standings. If Minnesota can hold off the Chicago Blackhawks, then they're 1 point ahead of them right now. And the Blues either end up, let's say, in eighth or in third, well, then they face Minnesota. So, obviously, if Chicago gets there, the Blues aren't going to be able to catch Minnie or Chicago at this point. They can catch Calgary, and Calgary may very well have a dip. They've played some great hockey to put themselves in that position, but you can't hold on to that for 18 more games. I think the best is yet to come for the Blues, so it wouldn't surprise me if they got to that first wild card, and they could, you know, in all likelihood, you know, end up playing at that point. They'd play the winner of the Pacific, as it looks like right now.
What about the Blues goaltender, Jake Allen? And what are you seeing? It's just, you know, I know that I think he's trying to downplay all of a sudden, like Martin Brodeur became his goaltender's coach. But, like, the numbers are staggering. I mean, Jake was probably going to get better anyway because he's always been a good goaltender. He went through a rough time. But, boy, you look at his numbers with Martin Brodeur as his coach and then without him, it is interesting.
Yeah, and I totally understand and appreciate, Jake and Carter deflecting any of that because, to me, they were going to get through this. A lot of credit goes to Marty and the way he can handle the goaltenders, and I think the aura that he has inside that coach's room as well to determine the schedule, to stay with the schedule, to show the coaches the confidence that he has in both guys. Those are big parts of it, make no mistake. But the big thing for me, and this is why I never got too excited to throw the goalies under the bus, as you well know, and I likely got criticized all over the city for how I defended the goaltenders. But I'll stay with it. I defended the goaltenders because I thought our defensive zone system was no good. I didn't think it was good enough. I didn't think they played intelligently enough in their own zone to help benefit the goaltenders. In fact, you could say the same thing about the defensemen. The system wasn't good enough to make the defensemen look good. It wasn't good enough to make the forwards look good. So as a six-man unit in your own zone, no one was trusting anybody. And there was a lot of running around, and they were getting beat to the net and quality scoring chances. Now, the praise that's bestowed upon them right now is because, Frank, the system's better. The defending as a five-man unit in front of the goalies is much better. The shots are, not all of them, but they're on the outside. And any goalie will take a shot on the angle. You ask Jack Caruso what that's like. A shot on the angle where everybody's taking care of the rebounds, or a shot right in front of the net where, you know, that's the highest of quality. And so all in all, you've got to look at it as a big, big package. And the big package is looking very, very good. And I'm certainly not underestimating because I give Marty a lot of credit. I like the way his philosophy is as a goaltender. That's how you win 691 games. But he's not trying to change these goaltenders into being Marty Brodeur. He's simply trying to instill a message of calmness and patience and less floundering or less sliding around and being in control for the second save. And that's the way Marty played the game, with great calmness and hockey sense. And Jake Allen and Carter have hockey sense. They're great athletes. They try hard. And now the package is real. I mean, this is the reason why Doug Armstrong signed Jake Allen to that 4-year extension. And I'm glad it's going the way it is right now, because I think that's the most dangerous part of the game for the Blues, is that these goalies are making the saves at the big times in the game that I think is frustrating the other team. And that's exactly the way you want it come playoff time.
All right, explain this in as layman of terms as possible. How has the defensive system changed a little? I mean, I know you touched on it, but make it real easy for us hockey idiots like myself to understand.
Well, how many games did you see our defensemen, because they were told to chase the puck carrier? So you follow a puck carrier behind the net. Now the puck carrier goes up to the top of the circles. Now that same puck carrier ends up at the right point. The same left defenseman is following him to the right side. Now your right defenseman is chasing another man. Now your forwards that are supposed to be covering the point men, they don't know where to go. So what's going to get left open at the end of the day? What's going to get left open is going to be the slot. That's what's going to be left open, the highest of quality of chances. And so when that happens, you've got chaos. It wasn't supposed to be that way. The Blues always played a great defensive system. Against certain teams, they wanted to play more of that style of hockey. But I think it got away from them. I think it continued on. And with that continuing on like that, the lack of trust in the own zone was just not up to par with what we have, with what kind of team we have. And it made everybody look non-sufficient, if I can put it that way. So now it's tight. When in doubt, go to the front of the net. When in doubt, collapse as a five-man unit. Have calmness. If you're a right winger, your job is to protect the left defenseman and then come on back down and protect the slot. I think they're in way more unison right now than they were for about a one-and-a-half-month period. And for whatever reason, that defensive zone system just simply got away from them, and they transformed into more man-on-man than they did a zone coverage. Now they're back to being a zone coverage and being in better position.
That was explained wonderfully. All right, before we let you go, we're talking about Tim Tebow, and yesterday he comes to the plate and he strikes out two times of his three at-bats. He's going to strike out all spring long. And there's always this theory that the toughest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. But I'm wondering, and you can really answer this question, is if it's not being a goaltender in the NHL, just how difficult is it when you have like three big Keith Kachuk-like bodies right in front of you trying to stop a puck going 95 miles an hour?
Well, it can be near impossible, but you have a chance at it. You know, you can guess one way, maybe much like a hitter. I guess you could guess and still make pretty good contact with the ball. The timing of a screen, Frank, is the most difficult part. The timing of a player going from your visually left to your right at the same time a shot's being taken, that is a perfect screen. That's a perfect storm. And if the shot's in the right spot, you really have no chance whatsoever. So I guess the fortunate thing for a goalie is there's enough equipment that maybe you'll get a piece of it, whereas a batter, you're going to look foolish with a swing and a miss on a knuckle or a slider or what have you. So I think they're both very, very difficult. One's probably a little bit more scary because the puck comes from the bottom ice level to the top. So that causes you to flinch. In pitching, it obviously comes from the arm, so that's mid-length or high down to low. And because I've been a goalie so long, I think that would be as scary as anything. I'd rather have something going from the ground up. Maybe that's because I've been trained that way all my life. But baseball would scare the heck out of me with some guy that could throw like Randy Johnson or something.
Good stuff. Darren, honored to have you on the program. Hit him straight. We'll see you at the rink Friday night. Thank you, sir.
Sounds great. Going to be a great weekend of hockey here, Frank. Thanks, buddy.
All right. The great Darren Pang joining us, brought to you by Fenton Bar and Grill. Thursday, it's gumbo day, and there's nothing better. They have that the andouille sausage, which is really good. The shrimp, it's really spicy. It's really tasty. I don't know why they want to do spots with us, because they're always so packed. I mean, I really don't. I mean, every time I walk in the place, it is absolutely packed. I think people are discovering why it's so good. I mean, their food is just unbelievable. And the single best trashed wings in St. Louis. And on hockey nights, there's always all types of Blues specials. But you want to be there on a Friday or Saturday night watching the Blues on a big screen and sampling some great beers, having the best food. It's just a great place. We can't tell you how much we appreciate them being a part of the program. But as I've said before, I don't think they really need us. I mean, it's always packed. All right, we'll take a short time out. A little bit later in the program, Chris Gervino on the Missouri basketball coaching search. We'll be right back.